Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast. Success needs momentum. If the momentum breaks, your success is going to suffer. I want to start off reading to you again something from Think and Grow Rich to kind of bring your mind back into the idea of how important belief is. I have coined the phrase, just believe. And, I've gotten some criticism over that over the years because people will often say to me, well, David, you can't just believe your way to success. And frankly, what it does is it shows a person's ignorance because they just don't understand the word. Belief is absolutely required for your success, and it is the thing that is keeping you from your success. The difference, as Napoleon Hill said, he said, there is a difference between wishing for a thing and being ready to receive it. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. I believe that when you study, you really need to study very often sentence by sentence and really ask yourself, what is the author after here? What is the author really trying to communicate? That includes myself. I wrote a phenomenal best-selling book called The Millions Within. And if you get that book and you study it, do it the same way, sentence by sentence. What is it that I'm trying to convey? Well, let's look at what Hill said here. There's a difference between wishing for a thing and being ready to receive it. What he's saying here is that just because a person wants success, just because they want to increase their sales, just because they want to increase their income, just because they want a better body or a healthier body, just because they want to make more money, just because they want better relationships, does not mean in any way that they're actually ready to receive those things. Which causes a huge question in a person's mind, like, what the hell actually would make us ready to receive it? See, most people don't think that way. They just think to themselves, boy, I really wish things were different. I wish I had more money. I wish I could pay my bills. I wish I could go on that vacation. I wish I had that body. I wish I could live my purpose. I wish I could help other people. I wish I could change the world. But Hill says there's a difference between wishing and being ready to receive it. Then he goes on to give us the answer to that presupposed question. No one is ready for a thing until he believes he can acquire it. He believes that he can acquire it. The state of mind must be belief, not mere hope or wish. So, what is a belief? Where is our belief? And how do we, number one, identify the beliefs that we have that might be blocking us from success and begin to change them to beliefs that will allow success to come in with relatively low effort as in compared to what it is that we're experiencing now? Now, I want you to sit back and think about what I'm about to say to you. You have results in your life every day. And those results keep showing up over and over and over and over again. You do not have to get up, strain, struggle, push, pull in order for those results, primarily the ones that you don't want, to show up every day. You don't have to walk out of your front door and grab a bunch of results that you don't want and, you know, be like, come on, results, get in here, get in the house and make my life miserable. You don't do that. The results that you don't want just seem to keep showing up over and over and over again. It's not like you have a tremendous amount of effort trying to bring those results in to your life. They just keep showing up. Well, the truth is that what's causing those results is a belief or a set of beliefs that you have that are equal to those results and keep bringing those results into your life. Does that mean that you don't have to do anything? No, absolutely not. You are doing something in accordance with those beliefs that keeps bringing in those results. So let's begin to understand how our mind works, because our beliefs are located in our mind. And if, you know, think about it, if I say to you, what does the mind look like? Pretty much everybody has the same reaction. They visualize a picture of the brain. And the brain is not the mind. The brain is a tool that we think with, but it is not the mind. The mind literally exists everywhere at the same time and everywhere in every cell of your entire being. And it operates according to law. If you understand how to work with these laws for success, then success becomes a natural outcome or result of who you're being every single day. If you don't understand the laws, in other words, if you're ignorant to how the laws work, ignorant not being a bad word, just meaning being a word that something that you don't know, and every one of us, there's something that we don't know, then you are a victim to those laws because you don't understand either, number one, that they exist, or number two, that they exist, but you don't know how to use them. You don't understand how they work. Think of it like gravity for a moment. Gravity is a law of the world that we inhabit. And scientists will tell you it is one of the least understood phenomenon on our planet. They know it exists. They have a pretty good idea of what causes it. But as far as all the different things that science does understand, gravity is one of the things that we still do not completely understand. But here's what we know about it. Anything heavier than air is drawn to the center of the Earth. And it's a very interesting thing because everything on our planet is subject to that law of gravity. If you take a little bitty baby who doesn't know anything about gravity, and that little baby by accident was to crawl off the edge of a building, it is that little baby is subject to that law just as much as somebody who completely understands gravity and has experience with gravity. That baby's going to go down, and it's not going to be a good scene. Now, what's interesting about this is that there's no outside force that is going to prevent that baby from going down, unless, you know, mom and dad are there, somebody can grab the little child. Ignorance does not, it doesn't matter. In other words, if you're ignorant to something, it doesn't matter. The law makes no exception for your ignorance. You can, on the other side, be the nicest, caring, most loving person who understands how gravity works, and you, by accident, do the same thing, slip and fall, you're still going down. The only thing that's different, is that when we're conscious of a law, for the most part, we can work with the law. We know that if we were to walk on the edge of a building or the edge of a cliff, there's certain risks that go with it. We can prepare ourselves so that we're not as subject to those risks. Maybe you're using a safety harness or something like that in case you were to accidentally slip. Or you know just not to walk on the edge of a cliff or on the edge of a building, unless you're into that kind of stuff. But the most important thing is that it gives us the ability to choose. Consciousness whether we're dealing with the laws of the universe or understanding the exact laws of how our conscious and subconscious mind work together, give us the ability to choose and give us the ability to consciously change and give us the ability to create success, whatever success that you want, at will. Now, here's the laws of the conscious mind. Here's how the conscious mind operates. The conscious mind has the ability to think. It can reason. It can accept an idea or an opinion. It can also reject an idea or opinion. It can accept or reject anything, actually, which gives it the ability to choose. We can make conscious choice with our conscious mind. The subconscious mind is vastly different, operates completely different than the conscious mind does. It cannot think, it cannot reason, it cannot reject, and it does not have the ability to choose. It must accept any idea or image that is turned over to it, and it cannot tell the difference, and this is very important to understand this, it cannot tell the difference between what is imagined and what is real. See, now we have the ability with our conscious mind to engage in something called imagination or fantasy. Little kids do not have a problem doing this. From the time we're little teeny kids, we can engage our conscious mind and we can imagine things and we can fantasize about things. We can create images, ideas, concepts, even the emotions that would go along with those things with our conscious mind. Now, let me add something to this. Our conscious mind is also known as the thinking mind. The subconscious mind is also known as the feeling mind. In other words, the subconscious mind is also where all of our emotions are programmed and stored from the time we're just little children. 7 years old is the age of reason, or the age in which consciousness becomes developed. Prior to that age, even from the moment of conception, this is what we look like as far as the mind goes. We're all subconscious and physical body, and that's it. Now, why is this important to understand this? Well, what's important about this is if we go back to the law of how the subconscious mind works, one of the things that I said is that it does not have the ability to reject. That means that all the thoughts, the images, the ideas, the experiences, and the emotions that are going on and around that baby or that child are going directly into the subconscious mind, and they become fixed in the subconscious mind. They become fixed. And I want you to think about the idea here of how those thoughts, the images, the ideas, the experiences, and the emotions become fixed in the subconscious mind. All of those things that we experienced before we had a conscious mind that became fixed in the subconscious mind begin instantly to turn into our belief system, our value system, and our habit system. Our belief system, our value system, and our habit system. Now, this is so vitally important in understanding why a person stays stuck and why some people seem to naturally become successful while others seem to struggle most of their life. That when you begin to understand it, you now begin to gain the power to actually begin to change this. Remember, we understand that the conscious mind gives us, or there within, is the ability to reject an idea. But if we don't have a conscious mind developed, we don't have the ability to reject an idea. We have five senses: our ability to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. Those are physical senses, folks. They're literally on our physical body. And it's how we bring information from our outside world to our internal world of our conscious mind. Now, we think in images. That means that all of those experiences that we had as a little child get stored into our subconscious mind as images. They can be photo images, or they can be sound images, or they can be feeling images. Now, we're not going to talk about somebody who has a sensory challenge. We're going to talk about if you have all of your senses intact. In other words, you're not blind, you're not deaf, you're not mute. All of your senses are fully intact, and you're taking in information. Just note this, that even a person that is sensory challenged still takes in the same kind of information, and it's stored in the subconscious mind. The changing of it is just slightly different. That's the only difference. But it doesn't mean that a person can't change if they're sensory challenged. Okay, so we see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. Everything that's going on and around us in our results, our circumstances, and our environment, that information is being fed back to our senses. We see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. The information then goes through those senses and forms an image on the screen of our mind. Now, here's the interesting thing about this image. Either the image is something that we recognize because we have beliefs, values, or habits, or even experiences around this image, or it's something that we don't recognize. In other words, we have no experience around it at all. We've never seen it before, heard it before, tasted it before, felt it before, touched it before. It's not something that's part of our experience. For things that are part of our experience, when that image or that information is then fed into our conscious mind, instantaneously at light speed, our subconscious mind tells us several different things about this image. One, it tells us what the image is. Two, it says, is this image something that is safe or is it a threat? And three, it tells us what to do with the image. The third part is the most important in our teaching here, because in telling us what to do with the image, it is literally telling us how to think about this image, how to think about it. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now I want you to pay close attention to. You want to write this down, and you want to think about it, and you don't ever want to let this out of your thoughts, no matter how successful you become. People that become very successful, really, when it comes right down to it, change just one thing, and that's how they think about things. Everybody on the planet is thinking primarily about the same things day in and day out. There's 7 billion people on our little planet Earth right now. And for the most part, we all think the same things every day. Because why? Because we're human beings, because we have the same needs to survive, the same needs to thrive, the same needs to stay healthy, the same urges that we have to manage during the day. We need to eat, we need to drink, we need to breathe, we need shelter. We all have the urge of sex, reproduction, and we have the need to progress as a being. So those are things that we think about. Whether a person is homeless or a billionaire, they think about those things. The difference is in how we think about those things. The difference between success and failure. The difference between a winner and loser. The difference between someone who is rich and poor is in how we think about the things that we all think about every day. And what's controlling the way that we think about those things is our beliefs, our values, and our habits. Now, I'm going to add one thing here. It is through the experiences that we have that we often determine how to think about the things that we think about, which is really very interesting. Because if all we need to do is to change how we think about something to become successful, then it would really seem like it's actually pretty easy. And the truth is, if you're coming at it from a logical perspective, just a reasoning perspective, that would be absolutely true. But there's one problem. The subconscious mind inherently does not want us to change unless there's an imminent threat to our life. The subconscious mind operates just like a computer does. Whatever information is stored in its hard drive is going to be carried out every day without any conscious attention on your part in order to keep maintaining the status quo of that person's life. And it has an inherent mechanism in it that tries to prevent us from changing anything that is in the subconscious mind that we would consider any kind of a threat. Spirit is flowing to and through us 24 hours a day, all of our life. Now, spirit is totally deductive in nature, meaning that even though it has all the potential, all the knowledge locked up in it, it requires us to choose how it's going to be expressed. This means that as that energy enters our conscious mind, we can create a brand new image, any image that we want, with that energy. Now, here's the coolest part about this. You cannot create an image that does not have the potential or the ability for a physical manifestation if it didn't already exist in the abundance of knowledge that's in the universe. Now, I want you to think about what I'm saying. You cannot create an image if the possibility for its existence did not already exist. We don't create the knowledge, we receive the knowledge. We are a receiver and a transmitter. That's what our brain does. It receives information and it transmits information. But the information was here before we were born, folks. It is omnipresent throughout the entire universe. All the knowledge that ever was or ever will be created is 100% present in all places at the same time. In all places at the same time. And it's just as accessible to me as it is to you, as it is to every one of the 7 billion people that are on the planet. Now, what's important about this? What's important about this is it means that you can take the thing that you want from the last lesson and form a crystal clear image of what that looks like on the screen of your mind. Once you create a crystal clear image of the thing that you want and you learn to hold that image with your will and change it with the habitual things that you do on a daily basis that are based in the universal law of cause and effect, you will change yourself as a causation for the results that you want. In other words, you won't continue to bring in the things that you don't want. you will now become the living, breathing cause of whatever image that you hold on the screen of your mind, and you will bring it into your life with constant regularity. It's very interesting. Napoleon Hill said something in Think and Grow Rich. I'm going to see if I can grab it here for you really quick while I'm talking. That is, it's absolutely astounding when you begin to think about just how powerful it actually is. Basically, what he says, if I can grab it here, give me just 1 second. Basically, what he says is that when riches begin to come, they come so quickly in such great abundance that one wonders where they've been hiding all of the lean years. He says, this is an astounding statement, and all the more so when you take into consideration the popular belief that riches come to only those who work hard and long. He says, when you begin to think and grow rich, you will observe that riches begin with a state of mind, with definiteness of purpose, and with little or no hard work. You and every other person ought to be interested in knowing how to acquire that state of mind which will attract riches. This is the first stage after asking yourself, what do I want, is to build a crystal clear image. So this is the step that I'm going to leave you with. I want you to build an image that is so clear that you can literally see it, you could feel it, you could almost taste it. And then I want you to find a physical representation of that image. In other words, a picture. Remember, build the image in your mind first, and we're going to show you how to bring it into your life in reality. Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.